Attention, Super Duper Mart shoppers. We just wanted to let you know we have a special on Sugar Bomb cereal on aisle 12 next to the Tupperware. And in our beverage section, we are currently liquidating our entire stock of Nuka-Cola Quantum due to government recall. So you can now get one free when you purchase anything from our deli. Also, will the owner of a brown and gray Chrysler Liberty, license number J674Y, please return to your vehicle? Your atomic fusion power core is about to go supercritical. Oh, never mind. Well, we thank you for shopping at Super Duper Mart, and we hope you have a wonderful communist-free day. Oh, and apparently the Through the Aftermath podcast is about to come on.
Oh, God, we're gonna miss it!
Welcome back, everyone, to this 21st episode of Through the Aftermath. I'm your host, Sean, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jonathan. How are you doing, Jonathan?
Doing good, but it's been a busy week, my goodness.
Yeah, it has been a pretty busy week. We've had a lot of things going on, so much so that it's been actually 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. It has been 2 weeks. Yeah, one of those weeks I think I was half asleep for, so...
At least for half of it, right?
For part of it, yes.
Yeah. So what are you up to? Are you doing anything exciting in the post-apocalyptic world?
In the post-apocalyptic world, see, and this is where the irony kicks in. All this time we waited for Fallen Earth, and then at the very exact moment when Fallen Earth comes out, everything at work gets crazy. And it was almost like irony was laughing at me the whole time, like, yeah, you want to play Fallen Earth? You want to play it? There you go. You know, that you're like, when you go to play it, it's like, you know, and you're just at work going, I want to be playing Fallen Earth right now. So all the people I've told to play it are now playing it and loving it, and I'm the one who's not playing it because I'm stuck at work. But that said, it's kind of calming down. So, you know, hopefully this weekend really tear it up, and I'm the sad person who's still at level 2.
Are you really? I didn't even notice. I did notice it's been a while. Like, you know, we mentioned this last time we made a Fallen Earth clan. So it's good that, you know, now we have a bunch of listeners together and I get to hear people asking when the next show is going to come out and, you know, all that great stuff. No, it's been great though. It's really, seriously, it's been a lot of fun. And, some of the listeners have been absolutely wonderful. And some of them are really getting pretty high up in level, you know, up in the mid-20s and approaching 30, which to me, I mean, I'm like I'm almost level 15 now, and this is the highest I've been, you know, since beta. I played all through beta and only got to, like, I think 12 or something like that. And so this is, to me, this is a milestone for me, and there's people almost twice my level now, you know, but I mean, there are people running out there at level 45 already, so it's not that big of a deal. I'm sure there are people listening that are that high level too, but it's really great. I think the clan is working out really well. And but when I see you on, I'm always like, hey, there's Jonathan. This is like the first time we've been able to play any type of a game like this together.
It's true.
It's always pretty cool to see you on.
Yeah, and I'll be playing more as time goes on. I think it's just, you know, funny coincidence that work happened to get crazy at the same time. And I feel bad for everybody who like looks at the little list of how many hours it's been since I logged in. It's like Jonathan hasn't been on for 3,000 hours. And you're like, oh, but no, it's like this weekend I'll probably be playing a little bit, and yeah, hopefully you'll be ramping up here even despite the steady influx of insane games coming out in the next 2 months.
Oh yeah. Yeah, oh, there's quite a bit. Actually we'll probably talk about those in the news section, but mm-hmm. So anything else going on?
Not so much, but yeah, this just continuing in the aftermath the way we've been playing in Fallen Earth, and it's been really, really good. And it's one thing I will say about Fallen Earth is those of you out there who still haven't given it a chance, they've continued to patch it, and I'll tell you, you know, the last time we had a show to now, the patches and the performance levels have gotten like 10 times better. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everybody who was kind of complaining about the frame rate and that type of thing, things apparently are getting even more night and day than we were saying last time when we said night and day. So, yeah definitely check it out.
Yeah, actually, what's funny is, like, over at Massively, we try to do this thing where we're revisiting games, like, a month after launch or 6 months after launch and kind of keeping people up on maybe if they tried it at launch and they didn't like it, maybe they had some problems with it, we're letting them know kind of where it's at. And we did one recently for Champions Online. And so the Fallen Earth one should be coming up here in about, I guess, 2 weeks or so. And I'm really looking forward to that because I can't wait to kind of explain how far that game has actually come since launch. So it really has. They've really done a great job. And when, you know, they show the patch notes when you first log in, and every single day it seems like there's patch notes. So that's a good thing.
That's amazing. Yeah, it really is.
As for me, let's see. I've been doing – I talked a lot about my post-apocalyptic costume that I've been working on, and that's actually still coming along. I haven't been taking as many pictures as I like. I need to do that more, but I almost at this point want to keep some of it a surprise. You know, it's there's some things I've been working on that I'm really excited about that I want to kind of reveal all at once. You know, like when I we're going to a Halloween party at the end of the month, and my girlfriend's one of her friends from work is throwing a costume party, and I'm pretty excited about this. Now I'm like ramping it up even more, you know what I mean? It's like before I was thinking, yeah, this would be kind of cool to do for Dragon Con next year, you know, whenever I can. But now it's like, I got to get this done before Halloween. This is going to be great. And I've just been making, like, I scour my basement and my garage for, like, any license plates or, like, brackets or, you know, old chains, anything I can get, I'll just put it together on this suit. And it's really a lot of fun. I've been really kind of making – what's funny – I made this like forearm armor out of these tin cans that were the pineapple juice tin cans.
Oh yeah,
I found we have recycling bins in our basement where we recycle everything, and I found one of them down there, and I'm like, I wonder if that would fit. So I cut off the bottom part, and I slipped it right over my forearm, and it fit perfectly. And I'm like, hey, this would be awesome, like forearm armor. So then I asked my girlfriend if she would buy another can of pineapple. So that I can have one for the other arm. So we had pineapple chicken the other night, just so that I could have that other that other piece of armor. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm so excited about. You know, we went to Goodwill and I bought a bunch of belts. Goodwill has cheap belts. They're like under $1, and you can get a ton of these. Like, and I'm just using them for like leather straps to hold different pieces of armor together. You know what I mean? So it's getting to be a really cheap project, and it's so much fun. I'm having so much fun with it, but I need to take more pictures of that. And then, of course, you know, in a couple weeks when I'm all done, if that's even possible to be all done, then I'm going to take some great pictures of me in the entire suit, which will be so much fun. I am so excited.
That's awesome.
And
I love how it like determines what you eat too. It's like, you know, we're having pineapples. I need another piece of armor.
Exactly.
Spam, honey. I have something. I need something for my hands.
Exactly. And it's funny. I mean, but the great thing is she's been so great about it. She's like, okay, I'll go get some pineapples. You know, it's not like you're crazy. Nothing like that. You know, it's just like, okay. yeah, that's really coming along and I'm really excited about it. It's, I had to tone it down a little bit. I started getting a little out of control with hanging things from it, and then I'm like, you know what? If I'm walking around the wasteland, I don't want like all this stuff hanging from me. So
the human ears. You're like, yeah. I killed a couple of cats, and they had their skulls hanging. The girlfriend was just not pleased.
Like, we need another cat. I need more ears.
Now, have you thought about putting it into that Fallen Earth Halloween costume contest?
You know, I just heard about that today. Is that I thought that was just for characters. Is that
you know? I thought that too, but they are actually it's faction inspired costumes, and it looks to me like everything is pointing toward real life. And they actually are they want you to take a picture of what you look like. And as soon as I saw this, the first thing I thought of was, "Oh my God, Sean's going to dominate!"
Oh my God, dude, I got to do that. Because what's funny is I'm kind of aiming this this costume with the Chota in mind. It's kind of like a tribal version of, you know, post-apocalyptic. We're scavenging, putting pieces together. Plus, I have like more, you know, like animal, well, not seriously animal parts, but like I have this one part in there where I found these plastic bear claws at like Hobby Lobby, and I painted them to look like real bear claws. And I hung them from the armor because I wanted it to look more like a tribal kind of thing, like a mix between, you know, maybe indigenous Native Americans and this, you know, kind of post-apocalyptic armored, you know, steel metal everywhere kind of thing. That's the look I'm going for. So I think it's more of a Chota kind of thing. Yeah, man, I should do that.
That's
would be
exactly
great.
What I thought. I was like, I'm like, oh my God, he's got the Chota outfit. That's going to freaking dominate.
Wow! Yeah.
Oh, I better not dress up as like the vault guy or anything, because they'd be like, we're not some kind of you know, Fallout online. So sorry, sir, you're disqualified. You should have read the small print there.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to say you better not dress up like an enforcer, because then, you know, you and I would have to.
Yeah, we'd be separate factions, but we can still group.
That's true. That's true. Awesome. Yeah, but other than that, I've been, I wanted to watch Zombieland tonight, but I never got a chance to see it. Did you see that yet?
No, actually, I'm hoping to go on Friday night.
Okay, good. Maybe we could talk about that next episode.
Yeah.
But we watched a movie the other day that a lot of people are probably familiar with, and it's, The Mist, based on the Stephen King radio play.
Yes.
And that movie, now, it's not really – well, I guess it is post-apocalyptic, because the way the movie is set up, it's – you know, there's people that are stuck in this grocery store basically, and there is a mist all around them, and there are things in the mist that I will not spoil for anyone who hasn't seen it yet. And basically they're stuck in this place, and they address a lot of issues like using the things in the grocery store to survive, and the fact that they can't leave the grocery store. And there's a lot of inner turmoil between the people who are stuck there. And I think it's a real classic kind of post-apocalyptic feel to it. Plus, at the end, there's, again, without giving anything away, there's a part where they get out, or a couple of them get out, and they get to see kind of this ruined land from what's happened from this mist. So I would definitely categorize this as post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it would have been, you know, kind of like it would be hard to explain why. But yeah, essentially, if things had continued to that level, like a planetary level, we would all be dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, without giving anything away, I think that the ending, the very end, is one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen. And it's even more disturbing. Like last week we were talking about the end of Night of the Living Dead, where the guy got shot, and we were just all like, what? You know, this is much more disturbing than that. Much, much, much more.
Harshest ending ever.
It's on par with some parts of The Road, I would say. And, I would even say beyond that. And it's wow. You guys have to see it. If you haven't seen it.
Phenomenal movie. And be aware, I mean, it is rated R, and there's some reasons why.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and me and Sean were actually just commenting on the fact that, you know, little lesser known fact, a lot of people don't realize that the story The Mist was actually what inspired, you know, the guys at Valve to do Half-Life. They got the idea from that, the idea that we, well, I won't spoil it for you. Just go watch it. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if you've played Half-Life and then you watch the movie, you'll be like, oh,
I get it.
Cool. That's I guess that's about all I've been up to, though. So let's before we get into the news, let's just say that this episode is going to be all about emails. So it's going to be another email show. We figured we would you know, we were going to start reading at the end of each show, and then I kind of forgot, and they've been piling up. So I want to make sure I tackle all of these. And so I threw together I think there's about 12 or 13 of them this time, which still leaves us with about 7 or 8 that we will distribute later on. But I wanted to take one show and just kind of address a lot of these emails, especially since they go back to about July. So there's that. But yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. But before we do that, we'll read a little bit of news. And there hasn't been a ton of news. Actually, you know, last week or, last month actually was kind of the big news month, especially for our episodes. We talked about a lot of the new stuff coming out. There was one thing that I talked about on Twitter, which was an exciting little game called Zombie Driver. And this plays in pretty well with, our last episode, which was all about Night of the Living Dead. Now, this game is basically, it's kind of a top-down. Your view is behind the car and, like, I guess a helicopter view, behind the car. And you're basically driving cars around. It looks like there's different types of cars. There's even, there's normal cars, there's sports cars, and then there's even ones that have guns on them and flamethrowers and stuff. I imagine you get those later on. But this trailer looks like so much fun. You basically drive around through zombies. Like you're driving through the streets. There are hordes and hordes and waves of zombies, and you're just plowing through them. And there's just blood splattering everywhere. And it's and you're like doing donuts in the zombie blood. I mean, it's just a sick, twisted game that I look like I would absolutely love. It looks like I would absolutely love it. So this game. I found a link to it. Actually, if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see the link to it. But I'll put another link to it in the show notes for today. It's just fun. I mean, it just looks like there's no real point to it. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's like I said, you could get different cars and you could advance your cars and everything like that and get guns and flamethrowers. But I mean, who doesn't want to just drive through zombies? Right?
That really is what it's all about. Yeah, and funny enough, kind of like piggybacking what Sean just said, the zombie apocalypse thing has definitely gone full force into the in the gaming world, because we've got Left 4 Dead 2 coming out soon. That game he talked about. Another game that's getting a lot of acclaim is a game called Zombie Apocalypse, and it's almost, you can almost classify it as a mini game in a way, because it's just so much mini game fun. But what it is it came out on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, I believe, and it's you could almost think of it as a top-down, wonderful graphics Smash TV, where basically, one of your sides of your controller is controlling your guy, the other half is controlling where you're shooting, and you're just unloading on everything that's coming at you, and there's environmental hazards, and I think, they said there's, 40 levels, but everything I played of it was just, it just has a wonderful sense of humor and kind of plays off on a lot of the Left 4 Dead, kind of pays homage to that in some ways, but just a blast to play, except when I played it, my son was very concerned, because I was playing that my son and my daughter were both watching, and then there was at one point in the game you can save these survivors, so there's a lady in a dress like, help me, help me, and if you can keep her alive long enough, the little helicopter comes in and grabs her and takes her up, and she goes, thank you, and then you get points for it. And my son was quite concerned, somehow linked that was my wife. And I don't know where he got that, but suddenly there was trauma, not from the zombies, but from the fact that I didn't save my wife. You didn't save mom. And I'm just like, what the? Wait a minute. That's not where you're supposed to get messed up by this, But you know what? He has to train to become leader of the resistance. So, tough crap. So there it is.
That's true. Yeah. It's all training. That's right.
It is. It really is.
Well, cool. That sounds like a pretty fun game. I'm always excited about all these new games that are coming out, in our genre, in our favorite genre. It's pretty cool. So I guess that's about all we had for news. There wasn't, like I said, a pretty slow news week. But we'll just go ahead and jump into these emails. This first one, it's from a guy named Gods Are Monsters, which is pretty peculiar name. And he starts out, he says, hello, gents. I'm hoping you guys won't mind an email that is slightly critical of the show. No, we love them, actually. I've listened to all the episodes, and I really do like the podcast. The issue that I tend to have is that the conversations seem to go a lot like this. That looks great or awesome. That was great or awesome. Obviously, anybody that is a fan of the genre is the type of person that is going to want to do a show or listen to a show about post-apocalyptic. I can get behind that. I just wish that there was occasionally a more critical or discerning eye taken when discussing the various forms of media about the genre. It seems at times you guys feel like you are the ambassadors to PA and that you must pump it up for the audience. Right now it feels like you guys love everything relating to PA. This might be a fault of mine, but it makes me lose confidence in people's opinions on something when they can't just as easily tear it down as build it up. I feel that taking a critical eye to the genre would elevate the show. I have to apologize if I'm having a problem at all communicating my point. I tend to be a very sarcastic person and have to try very hard to get a point across without seeming combative. I do want to stress that I like the show and I see tons of potential there. I just sometimes wince when the discussion gets a bit too hyperbolic. Now that I'm done being a jerk, I wanted to make a PA suggestion. There is a book from my teenage years that I loved called Battle Circle by Piers Anthony. Yeah, I think I've read that. I haven't read it in years, so I won't go on record as saying that the adult me would still love it, though I probably would. What I will say is that it has a really interesting take on the PA genre, dealing with a culture of nomadic warriors that travel from hostel to hostel fighting in rings to earn wives, reputation, and the such. Now, something is obviously amiss at the start, as these hostels are maintained for these people to cater to their food and shelter needs, thus causing them to never need to farm, hunt, or form communities for resources and support. That is all I will really say of the setup for fear of giving too much away, but it's a fun read. It is essentially three short books in one larger book and is most definitely PA. Cheers, Gods Are Monsters. I totally don't mind any critical emails. I mean, we've gotten them before. I've gotten comments on Twitter, in the message boards, things like that, which are, critical. You can't ever really grow without learning both sides of the views of people. If someone were to just say, I don't like this show, and then they left and didn't listen anymore without really telling us, we'd never know what the problem is. Now, this particular issue that he's addressing here, I've heard this before, actually. I think Jonathan and I are both pretty enthusiastic about the topics we discuss, and I think that's just us. That's our personalities. I think there might be a concern that maybe we're being fake, that we're saying that we love this stuff, and maybe we're just leaving out the bad parts or leaving out things like that. I don't know. I think it's just us, though. I think it's just the way we are. I think that I have been critical before, and Jonathan too. We've been critical about certain things. I remember, I can't think of too many specifics. I remember like in a Boy and His Dog episode, we were talking about the things we didn't like about the show. When we did the Jericho episode, we were talking about things we didn't like about the whole program. I think we've done it before. Maybe it's not picked up on as much because we tend to have a lot more excitement about what we're talking about. But the fact is, we love everything about this. We love zombies, we love nuclear holocaust stuff, we love everything, and I guess with the exception of maybe the Hiroshima show, which there's nothing in there that we could really love, but most of the topics we talk about are really interesting to us, and it's why we do the show for free. This is completely a labor of love, but that's why we do this, is because this is something that we really enjoy, honestly. And I guess that's about it. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, you definitely hit it on the head for what I was going to say. Really what it comes down to for us is a couple things. A, you're hearing, we're talking about topics that we specifically want to talk about, so it's probably sounding more enthusiastic there. Next would be the fact that we're frankly, I'm easily amused. I don't know. I guess I'm like the guy, some of you are like, did you just see that guy get, kicked in the nuts? Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I always find, happy and everything. And so, I think you're right. I think we have been, a bit critical in places. I think when it comes to post-apocalyptic stuff, because it is a labor of love and because we're talking about a subject we do like, that level of suck that may exist, even the suck part of the suck doesn't really suck.
Yeah.
And I'll let that one sink in, and tomorrow morning you'll wake up and you'll go, I get it. I understand now. But like, for example, there are places where, I think in the past we've been critical. Like you said, there were things in some of those past shows that we talked about where we were kind of like, this was fun, but I didn't really like this too much. And yeah. I don't know if it's because we didn't focus too much on it. Even like when we talked about Fallen Earth, I felt like we gave a pretty, valid you know, some of the concerns, and we're nice about it, but we're still things that, hey, you know what, this didn't quite feel right, or this and this, and, you know, wait till we get to the movie the day after, and I start in on that one. You're going to hear some places where I go, oh, that was crap, you know, so maybe we're just not to the bad yet, so.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. You know, one thing I kind of think about with something like this. There's a podcast I listen to where they rate everything. Now, we don't rate anything because I don't think that – I think that would be really skewed because like this other podcast I listen to, they rate everything on a scale of 1 to 5. And right. Everything is always a 4.5 or a 5. And to me, I can see. I can totally understand where that gets annoying because I am so annoyed by that. I'm like, come on. Just, you know, yeah. give something a 3 just once. But – I think that since we don't really rate or review things, I mean, we kind of just say how it is and this is the way it is and it's awesome, you know. And we will mention the bad parts sometimes. You know, even in the last show, we talked about Night of the Living Dead and I talked about how I didn't like the remake as much as the original. You know, I think we both agreed on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not being overly critical. I think it would have been worse if we sat there and focused on what we didn't like for like 20 minutes. You know, that would be kind of – it just – you want to hear a podcast about things that you enjoy. You know, you don't want to
right.
sit there – you know, there was actually another podcast I listened to about a game, and it was about a specific game, and this podcast just kept talking about how much they hate the game and how the devs need to fix this and that. And I just stopped listening to that because I didn't want to hear – I guess it's the flip side of what you're saying, but I didn't want to hear, you know, someone just sit there and bash on the game. It's like, I like this game. I'm looking for a podcast about the game, not one to bash the game. So
right.
I think it's that same thing. And you know, we don't think you're a jerk. I mean,
not at all. No, his point is valid. I understand where he's coming
yeah,
from.
Yeah. So I just wanted to address that because I think it's probably crossed a few people's minds. You know, Jonathan and I are a little crazy, but it's all in
we
good.
Are indeed. It's all that time in the radiation. All right, the next one says, "Hey guys, I really enjoyed the show. I always get a laugh from the skits at the beginning. That makes me happy. In the last email show, you talked about how you did not see a virus as a possible cause of the apocalypse. I beg to differ. I liked it. As soon as I started reading this, when I read this, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And he says, and I hope I'm not going to butcher this word. He says, while somebody out there will have to help me with that. Hemorrhagic diseases that we often think of when contemplating bugs with high death rates. Like Ebola, they often kill too fast to be widely spread. AIDS and their related illnesses have a 100% kill rate, though now we can stave off death for many years. In the past couple of years, there have been outbreaks of SARS and H1N1 that, while not very deadly, have disrupted the lives of many across the globe, causing widespread panic. I travel to Mexico 30-plus times a year, and earlier this year, many of establishments were like ghost towns due to people's fear. Only time will tell if it becomes more virulent. I think that the indiscriminate use of antibiotics and antibacterial soap could have the potential to produce superbugs that could wipe out large swaths of the population." Thank you. That's actually something I thought.
Yes, me too.
"Staph infections are already getting harder and harder to fight. My daughter was hospitalized for a week with MRSA. I think it's a case of when, not if, another plague will hit us, though I hope I'm wrong. I just finished reading The Third Pandemic, which I recommend, which tells the story of the evolution of a drug-resistant bacteria that kills off 60% of the humans. While the book is more apocalyptic than post-apocalyptic, I still enjoyed it. And the premise of the story isn't that far-fetched with the millions of international travelers every year. Just some of my thoughts. David in Houston. P.S. Please stop eating my pigeons. They are supposed to be sent back after this letter has been delivered." Dang it. I knew that was a bad idea.
David, they're really good, though. Sorry. Yeah,
they were wonderful pigeons, and we promised we'll send a turkey back during Thanksgiving. You know, I like what he said because this is something that I I'll have to give a real quick background here. We some of the people at work, I hope to God they don't listen to this episode at any given point. We have a guy at work who's well known for being the office germaphobe, and to call him a germaphobe would be very light. I mean, he absolutely panics. I mean, he will never open the door with his hands. He will let you go first. He will kick it open with his foot, and he always washes his hands with antibacterial stuff after he's done, like, going anywhere near anybody. And that's been a joke that I've been telling him, as I've been saying, you know, you realize that by doing so, you're essentially, you know, not giving your immune system a chance to program. And I know that sounds stereotypical, but I've always had this thought that, you know, eventually in a world of bacteriological soaps where we're using them more than the normal, what if we get to a point where the germs do become, you know, that stopping the germs? You know, we've just, you know, we're using it too much. And I've always been the kind of type who says, you know, if obviously years ago we weren't living quite as long as we do now, but it is, you know, what does that do to? And is it because I don't put bacteriological soap on my hands every 5 minutes? I doubt that, you know, and that's not to say I go like pick my nose and like wipe in my hair or something screwed like that. But that said, I'm not the kind of person who's like going to kick the door open. And I'm like, you know what? If you're going to get sick, you're going to get sick. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. And most of the stuff on your hands, not all of it's going to go through your hands.
Yeah. You know, I 100% believe this. And this is actually something that drives me crazy. And I have a kind of a similar story. There's this guy that I used to work with at my old job who would bring antibacterial wipes to work, and he would every day, like we all had phones at our desk, and we would have, there were three shifts at work, so then the second and third shift would use our desks also. So other people used our phones. So he would come in the morning and he would take those wipes and wipe down his phone and wipe down his desk and his keyboard and everything, because he didn't want any of the germs from the second and third shift people being on his stuff. You know what the ironic thing was? That he was always sick, because he just set himself up for that. And this is something I just wholeheartedly believe, that this is why he was always sick, is because he was, you know, he's spraying Lysol everywhere, the bacterial killer brand, you know, that kills, you know, bacteria in the air and everything. It always says, like, it kills the flu virus. Yeah, but he was always sick, you know what I mean? I'm even to the point where I don't trust the flu vaccine. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, when people get the flu vaccine, I'm like, you have got to be out of your mind, you know, because what's going to happen? Like, you know, in a couple of years, they're going to have to bump that up, and they're going to have to keep bumping it up until it's going to be to the point where we're going to be relying on these flu vaccines, or else we're going to die instantly from the air. You know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, it's just so much. And that really drives me crazy. But yeah, I totally understand. And it's one of those things where it makes you really wonder, like he says in this email, is this going to be the way, you know, all these things we wonder about the end of the world, this could very well be one of them, you know what I mean?
Yo, absolutely. And that's the kicker is for me, you know, and I don't want to say I put my life completely to chance. I'm one of those kind of people that believes, you know what, if I'm going to get sick, I'm going to get sick. And there's probably not a lot I can do about it. And like you said, the people who, you know, people who get too weird about it, you know, they tend to be sick a lot more. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why aren't you sick? And people blame that on the Pepsi, but maybe that's true. But, you know, and I don't want to, you know, I guess I'm one of the kind of people that decide, you know, that believes to an extent, you know, obviously medicines are a good thing, and we, you know, we do use them. And if I ever do have pain, you're darn tootin', I'm going to grab the first painkiller I can find, because, you know, an excuse to get high. Not really. But, I mean, the main thing is, you know, the Klingons have it right. I'm going to go nerd here. The Klingons have it right. You know, what happens if you get sick from the virus? That it is a good day to die. That's what I think of. And there, everything's happy.
You know what's funny? I might have mentioned this before. I don't remember. But George Carlin is one of my favorite comedians ever. And he once had a skit that stuck with me forever. And in the skit, he was talking about how he's so sick and tired of everybody taking medicine for everything these days. He's talking about when he was little, they played, you know, it would rain, the sewers would overflow, and it would flood their neighborhood, and they would play in raw sewage. And I was the same way. You know, I grew up near the Great Lakes, and as far as the altitude, it's pretty low. And whenever it would rain really hard, our sewers would back up, and it would flood our neighborhood. And this happened at least every summer. And at least once a summer. And we would go out there and we would get our sleds and we would try to, you know, we would make them into little boats and we would play out there. And I'm thinking he's exactly right, because his point of that whole joke was that he has never gotten sick. You know, he's never gotten very sick. And he was always pretty healthy, because he thinks that as a child, he built up that immunity playing in raw sewage. Now, of course, I'm not advocating playing in raw sewage, and neither was he. But it's the fact that, and I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right. I mean, he's joking about it, but at the same time, I know he was kind of serious that, you know, when you expose yourself to this stuff, like when you expose yourself to animals at a young age, you know, you just kind of build up that immunity. When you lock yourself away from all of this stuff, then when you grow up, you're going to be allergic to a lot of this stuff. You know what I mean? And I mean, I could get into this for a long time. This could be a whole show, but
yeah.
But I've always loved that skit by George Carlin, and I don't remember what it's called or anything like that. But if anybody else out there knows what I'm talking about, let me know, because it's hilarious, and he's so right. I just love it. Just go play in raw sewage.
Yeah, go play in raw sewage, build up your immunity, because God knows the reason I'm immune to everything is because at an early age I was playing in arcades, and God only knows what was on those controllers.
Exactly.
Galaxian could have had the plague, and I would not have noticed.
Yeah, those are the days when we actually left the house.
That's right.
Okay, let's see. This next one is it's a pretty short one. It says, "Wow, is all I can say to your show on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Your unobjective view and review of the facts were awesome. You two should be history teachers. I've listened to it 3 times. Please do more. Cuban Missile Crisis, Chernobyl, I'm ready to hear it. Congrats to you both, and keep up the good work, Rob. P.S. Thanks for the tip on PS2 aftermath-ish games on the email show."
Sweet.
Wow, that's a good show. Just kind of a, you know, no questions or anything. Just kind of letting us know how awesome we are, which we always like to hear.
I like that he touched on Chernobyl. That was actually something when I thought about it, because it was spurred by something I was watching on television the other day, made me remember it, and then mostly because it brought back memories of playing Stalker, and then some guy's cell phone at work made the same noise as the scanners do in Stalker and made me almost dump in my pants. But that was another one. I think that would be a lot of fun, and to kind of keep on the, you know, the back burner soon, is talking about Chernobyl, because that is, you know, aside from, you know, Hiroshima, and this kind of touches in what we were saying there, is, you know, very rarely has some, you know, if we had a nuclear event like that, and Chernobyl would definitely fall into that, you know, something of more of a modern day one. And it was something I started to think about, and I went, you know, that would be really cool to find, you know, to touch on what happened there. And because just in talking with my wife about it after the show I watched, she was asking a lot of questions like, well, I don't understand. I thought it was just something where some radioactive cloud got in the sky. And I'm like, oh, dear, you know, and it's so much of the world doesn't realize how weird it got there.
Yeah.
And it would be a good subject. I'm glad that he brought that up.
Yeah, it would be cool for a future show. Definitely. All right. I'll go ahead and take this next one too, since that one was pretty short. It says, "Hey there, I like your show. Well, I just listened to the first 3 episodes, but I don't think the quality decreases." Oh, it decreases so much. Yeah, just stop now. "And the topics you talk about. I also listened to The Signal, but I didn't even finish with season 1, so I didn't hear your promo." That's ironic. "Instead, I looked for some post-apocalyptic podcast after watching Fallout 3 too much. And I have to say, your podcast is exactly what I was looking for. However, I have a problem with both your podcast and The Signal." Here we go. "It's too long for me to listen to in one session. It is interesting, no doubt, but I have to listen to one episode in multiple sections. And when I start listening in the middle of an episode again, I'm often interested in what you're talking about, while I have no idea what the name of the movie or game or comic is that you talk about. And when I listen to it in my car, I can rewind to the start of the topic. As far as I know, putting chapters into MP3s isn't possible. And if it is, not all of the media players would support it. So what about splitting your episodes into topic-specific episodes of, say, 5 to 15 minutes each? If you don't do it, I'll neither stop listening to your podcast nor spam your email address much more about that topic." What? That was no threat, he says. And that was that was from Corny. I guess the thing here is that, well, there is no way Jonathan and I could sit down for 5 or 15 minutes and talk. You know, we talk so much before and after each show. We seriously, the part we record is like a little section of how much we talk about all this stuff together.
Plus, true.
I edit a lot too. I mean, I don't edit a lot, but I do edit out, you know, some parts. But yeah, we talk a lot. Because we love this stuff, you know, and actually, it's funny, at the beginning of this episode, we were talking about a lot of stuff, and I said, wait, we need to press record before we lose it, you know, before we talk about everything. It's just the way we are, you know. Originally we wanted to make these 45-minute episodes just for that reason, but it's so difficult, because you can really get into a topic and just want to keep talking about it. And actually, you know, I sometimes feel like we restrict ourselves sometimes, you know, maybe a little bit too much. Even though I do understand what you're saying, I don't like 2-hour podcasts. I try to keep this under an hour and a half now.
Yeah.
That's the new standard, from 45 minutes to an hour and a half. 2 hours is way, way too long, I think, for a podcast. And I understand what you're saying, because it's the same for me. I can't sit down for 2 hours and listen to a podcast. So will we cut these down? Probably not. You know, it would be nice. Maybe we'll do it occasionally. But it's just not – I don't see it happening. We just like to talk too much.
Yeah. It would be well, then, in the fact that, you know, we try really hard to, you know, have this out every 2 weeks, and you'd be surprised the amount of hoops we jump through to get that. And to try to split it up more and it would add a substantial more work that would, you know, potentially slow it down. And so you end up with this trade-off, you know, do you want them every 2 weeks like we've been doing, or do you want them more complicated, a little more easy to listen to, but maybe not every 2 weeks. And, ultimately what it comes down to is us just, you know, we go with the flow with this. I mean, and you know, we do a lot of prep work, but we just kind of take it as we go, and it's worked so far. And so to split it up might disrupt the flow just a bit. I don't know.
And also, let me ask the readers this. If we went to smaller episodes, you would not get the epic intros that we get. So is it really worth it?
And those intros, I've tried to keep them shorter, and they just keep getting longer. I wake up at 3 in the morning. I go nuts if I don't do these.
We would have like 5-minute episodes with 10-minute intros.
Oh, yeah, the intro would pretty much consist of somebody going, "How you doing, Bob?" And then it would just end. That would be pretty much the gist of everything.
Yeah.
All right, the next email says, "Dear Sean and Jonathan, I'm a new listener. I heard about your – oh, welcome, by the way. I heard about your podcast from your promo on the Mail Order Zombie podcast and the things that Brother D and Miss Brent had to say about you guys. I'm loving your show so far. I've listened to the couple of most recent episodes, and I'm slowly working my way through your back episodes. Just finished your podcast on Mad Max, and I wonder if you have covered or will be covering some of my other favorite post-apocalyptic movies. Here's a sampling in no particular order. A Boy and His Dog," which he'll get to soon. Okay, this next one's in French, and I'm going to try not to butcher it, because the most of the French I've ever had is when our teacher in school taught us how to swear. So I think it's – I believe it's Le Dernier Combat?
Yeah.
I'll have to look that one up, because I probably butchered that one really bad. Tank Girl, which I – kudos that. I forgot about that one being post-apocalyptic. Yeah. The Blood of Heroes, and yes, Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Yes.
Oh, and – yeah, I know. I was like, all right. And Damnation Alley as well, which I actually just added to my Netflix. I'm not a huge gamer, but I do dabble. I have several of the consoles, PS3 and Xbox. Oh, thank you. Someone else who has both. As well as the original Xbox, but I don't really do PC gaming. I'm about to dive into Fallout 3, and I'm excited about all the download content that's available and still in the pipeline. Next week, in fact. I'm guessing I should play it through once or twice before downloading any additional content, correct? I've seen a lot of debate on which console is better for Fallout 3, but in terms of download content, it seems the 360 has the advantage. Your thought for a Fallout 3 noob? Thanks. Tequila Matt, the Zombie Troopers of Pennsylvania. You know what? His timing on this is perfect, because I can probably answer this a lot better, and it's going to depend on your preference. And really what it's going to come down to, because as of next week when the PS3 gets the Game of the Year edition, they'll be neck and neck as far as content. But it really does come down to which of the two controllers do you enjoy more, because your fingers are going to be on that controller the whole time. And the one perk that the Xbox does have that I just found out about – and I don't know if you caught wind of this, Sean. It was kind of subtle how this slipped through the news. Is they were that one of the new things on Xbox Live is the new little mini avatars that you can have, and the avatars can have these dynamic backgrounds. And one of the things that they did as a perk for everybody who had ever bought the download content for on the Xbox was the guys at Bethesda created a dynamic background for Xbox, so that if you've ever gone through and actually purchased every single one of the download content, you unlock that dynamic background for your avatar. So if you wanted to go that route, if you're somebody who wants to go that route, you could end up with that. Me personally, I have played it on Xbox and I played it on PS3. I'm going to end up getting it on PS3 just because, well, actually, I'm probably going to find it on both. I can see it. I'm going to probably get it on PS3 just because at this point, that's the one I've seemed to be playing more recently. And then also because most of my friends have PS3s and you can, you know, swap gamer cards and that type of thing. And but it really does depend on really what you want to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're more the console guy. I don't have an Xbox 360 or a PS3, so that's all you. I trust you on that one.
Well, and I shouldn't be, because what's funny is, and everybody points this out to me constantly, they're like, "You're always on the PC." And I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, why do you own consoles?" And I just shrug and go, "Uncharted on PS3. You know, that's the reason. You know, truth be told, it was like, you know, because there are exclusives that come out that I kind of grab. But after time of thinking about it, I'm kind of like, yeah, why do I do this? I guess so I don't look like I'm in the computer room all the time and I can justify spending time with the kids by playing? I don't know. I don't know.
And these movies he mentions, now, of course, we covered A Boy and His Dog. The other ones we haven't yet, The Blood of Heroes, I forgot about. That's one I forgot about. Hell Comes to Frogtown. Wow. I remember seeing that one time on the USA Network used to have this thing called USA Up All Night. And actually, with Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
And that I saw that Hell Comes to Frogtown one time on that, and it was isn't that the one with Roddy Piper?
Yeah, you know what? The one with Roddy Piper, I believe you're talking about the one with the aliens and they can put on the glasses.
Oh,
is that what
wait,
you're talking
is that,
about?
Is that the same one?
See, it, now wait, because oh no, I'm thinking of They Live, the John Carpenter movie.
Oh yeah, that's They Live. Yeah,
sorry,
but yeah, I think I'm pretty sure Hell Comes to Frogtown is that one, but I'm sure I'll look that up when we're done. But yeah, Damnation Alley too. I need to add that to my queue too. We can talk about that sometime.
USA's Up All Night. I'd forgotten all about that.
Isn't that hilarious?
Tonight's show is about. Yeah, I used to love that guy. Oh man, that's bringing back the memories.
All right, let's see this next email. It says, "Dear awesome hosts, hey, I love this email already. I hope you might have time to clear some things up for me on a show. Whenever you talk about these games, I get confused about them. Fallen Earth and Earthrise, two games with very similar names and themes. What is the relationship between these games? Why should we care about them when they can't even come up with original names? Do you expect either one to be really any good? Thank you, James." Now, this was sent – I don't have a date on this right now, but I imagine this one was sent probably in August. Now, really quickly, the difference between Fallen Earth and Earthrise. Fallen Earth has released. It just released a couple weeks ago. It's post-apocalyptic in the sense that a virus – and a nuclear war both have wiped out humanity, basically most of humanity. And you spend a lot of time scavenging, crafting, rebuilding things, and it's very faction-based. You know, it's depends on who you join up with, things like that. That's a sliver of the explanation of the game. It's so much deeper than that, but that's kind of the basic overview. Earthrise is more like if you ever played Tabula Rasa. Now, Tabula Rasa was actually considered post-apocalyptic because the world ended and they took everyone up to a different planet to kind of carry on. Earthrise is set hundreds of years later where everything has been rebuilt. Technology is back. You have lasers and plasma rifles and stuff like that, much like Fallout 3, but a lot more advanced than that. And the thing with that is it's Fallen Earth is very skill-based, where you can start a character out, you don't have to choose a class right away, and everything you do is based on the skills that you learn. With Earthrise, everything you do is based on the items that you possess. So if you have a heavy suit of armor that's, all decked out, and you have a big heavy gun, when you put those on, you are the assault guy. You're the tank. When you put on the medic outfit, you're the medic. So everything you have, you're basically leveling your items, and then when you put those on, it changes you into that type of player. Totally different games. I mean, I can see, they both have Earth in them. I can see how that gets confusing for people. Earthrise isn't even supposed to launch anytime soon. I mean, there's no talk of a beta yet or anything. Well, of course, Fallen Earth has already released. I would say, it's kind of inconvenient that these games have the word Earth in them. There's also a game coming out called Earth Eternal, which has nothing at all to do with anything post-apocalyptic. It's actually has like animals in it and stuff like that. But that unfortunately, has nothing at all to do with any of these games. But yeah, I'm just letting you know. Basically, these games are very, very far on the spectrum, far apart on the spectrum. So and we'll start talking more about Earthrise once we learn more about it. But that's basically all I know about it now. And he says, "Do you expect either one of these to be any good?" I expect them both to be good. I know Fallen Earth is good. I love that game. And Earthrise, I expect it to be really good. That game is gorgeous. I mean, I've looked at a lot of the I did an interview with them when I was in GDC, and I talked to Atanas Atanasoff, and he kind of ran me through a lot of the different sections of the game and everything and showed me the PvP. I mean, they have full loot PvP. You get killed all your stuff is gone. And it's a pretty hardcore game, actually. It's more for the hardcore crowd. But the game is gorgeous. The gameplay looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We just haven't heard about a release date or anything like that in a long time. So I would definitely suggest going to these websites, to going to FallenEarth.com. Check out, there's links on the side that'll tell you just about everything you want to know. You know, about the factions, about the crafting, gameplay, combat, everything that makes this game so different you can read about. And then, of course, you can partake in it also. Earthrise, same thing. You can go to, I think it's playearthrise.com, I think is the website for that one. Go there, check out all their links on the side, and you'll see it's a completely different game. But both great games.
See, I knew you'd be the perfect one to answer this question. As soon as I read this question, I'm like, oh, Sean's going to have this pegged. We're going to be walking to Sean going, Sean, how many licks does it take to get to the nuclear center of Earthrise? I just knew you would be, like, the man to talk to. Like, it's funny, too, because one of the things I dug reading this email, and it's funny of all the things that I pegged this, I love that he's like, should we care when they can't even come up with original names? You know, one thing that occurs to me, even though the names have Earth in them and they're not necessarily original, it's not as big of a pet peeve as it is when they add a secondary name. You ever seen that? Like, and fantasy games love to do this. I hate when they add a secondary name. Like, it'll be like Infinite Chronicles, the Nipple Clamps of Destiny. And you're like, what? Did you even have to add the second part? I mean, the first wasn't enough. You lacked originality, so you felt like you had to reiterate?
Yeah.
Really? You know, so
I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, and actually, it's funny. We were actually talking about this just today. Massively in our little virtual office chat room thing, and we were talking about how many games, like, when are games going to stop putting "of" in the title? You know, we have Runes of Magic, Heroes of Talara, and it's like all these. I mean, I'm not, you know, nothing bad about these games, but we have a lot of these games that are something of something, and it's almost like you get a random name generator, a fantasy name generator, and then you roll on the first name and then the last name, and then you throw an "of" in the middle, and that's the name of their game. but yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I imagine at this point, it's probably as hard to get a name of a game as it is to get a URL, because all the URLs have been taken.
That's probably true.
So I think a lot of it probably depends on that. It's like Ion is a good example. They had to do, I think it's IonOnline.com, or maybe Ion, I forgot what that is, or maybe it's like PlayIon.com, I don't remember. But the actual Ion.com has been taken by, like, just some person. And if you go there, it's like, hi, this is my website, and, you know, it's like a GeoCities webpage or something like that. And it's funny, because I bet that person gets a lot of traffic now for people looking for the game. But I imagine that finding that URL has a lot to do with the game, the actual game name.
And I never thought of that. That's a brilliant answer too. It's like Torchlight. You know, they had to get Torchlight Game, because when you go to torchlight.com, you accidentally end up on like something like the Coleman Lantern, like JavaScript game, or you just light the lantern and that's it. Some poor kid out there like, this game's not going to be that good. But from now on, we'll actually have the secondary name. We'll be known as Through the Aftermath, Infinite Enthusiasm.
Yes. Oh, there we go.
Or Annoying Enthusiasm, depending. and to answer your question, Roddy Piper was in that movie, Hell Comes to Frogtown. I checked it while we were laughing, I might add.
Awesome. Yeah, I remember that movie fondly.
All right. The next email says, hi, guys. I just want to say again how much I love the show. Well, thank you. After hearing the last episode, I decided to finally watch the last season of Jericho. Wow, awesome stuff. I agree that it ended a bit too quickly, but also think if it went on, I wouldn't have had such fond memories of it. Also, the reporter in season 2 who worked for the Modesto Bee, I'm from Modesto, and that is a real paper. Keep up the good work. Geo. P.S. Can't wait till Fallen Earth NDA is gone so I can hear your thoughts on it. Well, perfect timing, my friend, because you gotta love when the email's older. today is your lucky day. It's funny though. I didn't realize the Modesto Bee was a real paper. That I love the little trivia like that. I think the reporter he's talking about, if I'm not mistaken, is the one that we realized was the guy who played Alex Rogan in The Last Starfighter,
yeah,
which shows up on Blu-ray very quickly, I might add.
Yeah, this is just a quick one I threw in there, you know, just kind of talking about that. But yeah, thanks for the kind words, and expect a Fallen Earth NDA lift edition soon. Oh, wait, No, we already did that.
Yeah, we did kind of do that, didn't we?
All right, this next one says, you might already know about this game, but just in case. And then he has two links to Rage, which is a game we talked about a couple episodes ago, I believe. And, you know, in his defense, he probably emailed this before we talked about it. But it says, id Software, makers of Doom, Quake, and Wolfenstein, is putting out a Mad Max-like post-apocalyptic shooter called Rage. They've been working on it for a while, but I didn't notice it was post-apocalyptic until the latest trailer. It looks similar to Fallout 3, but with driving. Nothing wrong with being similar to Fallout 3, in my opinion. It's a good game. Looks like instead of nukes turning things into a wasteland, a comet did. Anyway, just wanted to share. Yeah, that game is definitely on our radar.
Definitely on our radar. Well, and I like how he said it, like, it's similar to Fallout 3, but with nothing wrong with being similar in his opinion, but it's a good game. And then it's funny because you realize, wait a minute, in the time that he wrote that, Bethesda took over id. So it can be Fallout 3, I mean, as far as we're concerned. I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree, though. It looks, that game is one of those where I'm just drooling just looking at it, so I almost have to, like, turn my brain off. Because if, kind of like Old Republic, like, if you think about it, you hemorrhage, so, like, out of your head. So you almost have to, like, pretend it's never coming out because it's too much.
Yeah, actually, I think the art style is gorgeous in that game from what I saw. I mean, yes. It looks like Fallout 3 except with believable character models. How's that?
Yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah, and it looks absolutely amazing. And I mean, I like that they finally, you know, the Doom story was fun, but I like that they kind of tried to kind of change it up and do post-apocalyptic. And the idea of adding the comet, that's really cool. I like the idea of, like, changing it up just a tad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. The next one says, hey guys, there are tons of zombie podcasts out there, but very few related to the more general post-apocalyptic genre. I think there's enough podcast love to go around, so I wanted to bring a couple of PA podcasts to the attention of your listeners just in case they haven't heard of them, and in the hope that they'll be able to suggest others I don't know of. The first, Destructomundo, is now defunct, but as far as I know, it was one of the first PA podcasts. And he has it, we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's destructomundopodcast.com, hosted by James, Derek, Ted, and later Adam. Destructomundo ran for 32 episodes between 2005 and 2008. They discussed a variety of end-of-the-world topics ranging from the traditional, like, nuclear war to the zombie apocalypse and alien invasion to some more obscure ways civilization might end, like supernatural evil, supervillains, and the Antichrist. It was my favorite podcast at the time and was the inspiration for me to start my PA blog, Doomarama, which now has turned into Megaton.com. Oh. And in case James decides to cancel the page where the episodes are hosted, and since they were released under a Creative Commons license, I re-uploaded all the episodes to their own page on archive.org, and we'll put that link there in the show notes as well. That way, they'll be available forever for future PA fans to enjoy, and the page is already climbing up the Google results for post-apocalyptic podcast. I started re-listening to them from the beginning, and they're just as entertaining now as they were 4 years ago. I have some more notes about it on my blog, and I won't try to read that. That one's elaborate. so we will add that. The only other PA podcast that I know of has a familiar name and is still ongoing. It's called The Aftermath and is recorded through Blog Talk Radio. And that's at blogtalkradio.com and / The Aftermath. It started out in 2007 as Quiet Earth Radio, hosted by Will Coy. And Quiet Earth of QuietEarth.us. It's now hosted by Will Coy alone, and the release schedule is a little sporadic, but he's been more consistent lately. Anyway, those are both great shows for PA fans, and as I mentioned, I'd love to hear any of the other specifically PA shows out there that I have missed. Thanks, Bill in Hawaii. Yeah,
cool.
That's interesting. Yeah, I one of those rings the bell, like the Destructomundo one. I almost want to say, like, I've crossed paths with that somehow. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'll have to take a peek at those.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize that there was another podcast out there called The Aftermath. It's almost like, if I would have known that, I probably would have named it this one something else.
Yeah.
But he says it's sporadic, but he says it started out in 2007. I'll have to check that out.
Interesting.
And, you know, I wanted to mention, too, like a previous email talked about Mail Order Zombie. And I forgot to mention it when we read that, but I wanted to tell people, seriously, you need to check this out, because I really love that show. I listened to it. I've listened to a lot of them. I haven't listened to all of them, but I've listened to a lot of them. And the hosts are really great. They have a lot of charisma.
Yes,
and I think it really works out really well. And they love us, which you can't argue with that. But also, I want to mention this other podcast that I just heard about recently. Actually, Apocalypse Dan was telling me about this. There's a new Fallen Earth podcast that just started out. And I want to try to get those guys on the show because I think it would be kind of cool to kind of do a revisit Fallen Earth type thing with them. But the name of the podcast is LifeNet, and they are on, I think, episode 3 right now, which is just released earlier this week on Monday. So when I listen to the – well, I haven't listened to episode 3 yet, but I listened to the first two, and they're really knowledgeable. The guys, they're together in this clan. And it's called Lords of Wars, I think is the name of their clan. I've seen them everywhere. But they're really the guest on episode 2 was really knowledgeable. He knew his stuff, and they talked a lot about endgame stuff, which I haven't gotten to yet. So if you are listening to this show and you're a huge Fallen Earth fan, I would definitely recommend checking them out. And it's at Lagwar, LAGWAR.com/Fallen Earth. And that's where their podcast is. And it's pretty cool. Definitely check it out. I'll if I remember, I'll put a link to it in the show notes today.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll check that out myself.
All right. Let's see. This next email says, "Hi, guys. Long time no email. I was super busy with Gen Con, the big tabletop RPG convention, so I haven't had time to send feedback. I just listened to show 17, and it was your best show in a while. Not that the others have been bad. Is it sad or great that I have done like 40 of the 50 things you had on the show?" Anyhow, that of course was our Fallen Earth top 50 things to do in the wasteland, I think. Anyhow, one note I had. The Call of the Cthulhu one you mentioned, the Dunwich building one, had a lot of elements from The King in Yellow, which was an inspiration for H.P. Lovecraft's The Whisperer in Darkness. You can really tell the guys from Bethesda have a tabletop RPG background from all the Easter eggs that they had added. With Fallen Earth starting soon, again, this was from a while back, I was wondering if you guys want to help facilitate listeners getting together playing the new MMO. I was looking forward to playing it. Actually, this has all been taken care of, so I'll skip all this. He's basically talking about setting up the clan, which we have done. Awesome show, and keep up the great work. P.S. I say restart the forums. And this goes on. He talks about kind of some good ways to restart the forums. But and this is from Chris Davis from RPG Objects, who we've had on the show before. But the forums, like we mentioned before, have been restarted. They're going strong. We almost have 100 people back, so I'm really excited about that. And of course, the battle against the spammers is pretty much all behind the scenes now. I'm getting a lot of I have it restricted to where every new sign up has to go through me. So actually, are you getting those emails too? Since you're admin?
Oh yeah.
Are you?
Oh
okay?
Yeah. We get quite a few.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you were getting those too. Sorry about that. Probably.
Oh
like...
no. That's just fine. It's interesting because I'm baffled by how many people have been coming to the forums.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is that how many of those people are actually real people, not spam bots. I wanted to mention this, and this would be a perfect time as any. If you're registering for the site, there are two things to remember. Number one, a lot of people have said that they haven't gotten that second email that says that they're approved. So if you've registered, try again in a couple hours, because chances are that I've approved you, but it just hasn't sent that second email. And number two, it's really hard for me to determine sometimes who are spammers and who aren't. Now, if you have a name like Shuttler, he just recently signed up. Shuttler, that's an easy one. I know him, it's Shuttler. Mm-hmm. But if you have a name like ZX214P, that's going to be a little bit harder for me to determine if you're a real person. And, the default there is that you're a spammer. So I will probably delete something with a name like that. So if you want to register for the site, or if you have before and you found out that maybe your account got deleted and you don't know why, it's probably because I don't know, I'm trying to determine spammers from non-spammers just by looking at them. So, just try to do kind of a more organic name, I guess you could say, something that doesn't look like a spam name. And some of them have been really easy, like if they have numbers and letters thrown together and things like that. Others have been kind of a draw, and I'm almost, I'm almost wondering, should I delete it? I hate to delete it if it's somebody, but usually most of the time I'll just delete them anyway, just because I imagine it's probably a spammer. So if you've had any problems with that, just send me an email and I'll fix it up and just re-register and everything. So
yeah. So plus, yeah. if your email is labeled somebody at teethwhitener.com, you know, assume you probably should use Hotmail.
Yeah, or Viagra something, or yeah, so anything like that. That's yeah, you're gonna be. But yeah, thanks, Chris, for writing in. Like I said, a lot of these issues he talked about at the end, like the clan and the forums and everything, we've kind of settled.
Yeah.
But
we see him online all the time.
Yeah, yeah, he's actually he is actually on all the time, so it's good to see him.
All right, this next one says, "Hey guys, I'm the previous emailer who said that Dr. Robert Neville should collect all the UV lamps in New York. You said that qualifies me to join your anti-zombie squad." That's awesome. And he says, "Well, I finally did it." I love this part is classic. He says, "Well, I finally did it. I bought Fallout 3 for the PS3, and wow, I finally understand why you guys go on about it and on and on and on and on. Fellow listeners, there is a very good reason why these two will not shut up about this game, even if a super mutant puts a Chinese assault rifle to their heads." I'll leave out the part about the Chinese-made assault rifle not firing. "If you are interested in post-apocalypse and you still haven't played Fallout 3, then there's something very, very wrong with you. One thing, though, guys, I hear a lot about these add-ons and mods. Are these for the PC versions? Because I can't find nothing about the PS3 on any of my add-ons." And he even puts that he started crying there. "And I had a total geek moment when I recognized the voice of the President Eden as none other than Malcolm McDowell, who played Dr. Tolian Sauron in Star Trek, and Admiral Jeffrey Tolwyn in Wing Commander 4. Regards the Brisbane, Australia branch of the Brotherhood of Steel, Paladin Kieran out." I love that. Yeah, and to answer your question, you're correct. The PC version is the only one that lets you have mods, which right there is kind of why I've always had them on the PC myself, because the modding stuff, I just go crazy for that. Yeah. But that said, I mean, the download content for Fallout 3 has been so good that I almost dare say that the mods are great, but boy, you sure, for not having them, you have a lot of cool stuff to play with right now.
Yeah, I thought this was a funny email. I mean, for multiple reasons, but I like how he's seen the light and he understands now. It's so funny to me. And also, he's from the Australian branch of the Brotherhood of Steel. So once we get all the Brotherhood of Steel together, you know, we'll know who will lead the Australian branch.
Yeah, the Brisbane Australia branch of the Brotherhood of Steel. So we keep the radio tower up. We may have to contact you via ham radio.
Yeah. All right. This next one, it's actually kind of a long one, but I'll go ahead and read all this. He says, "Hi, guys. I'm very excited to have found Through the Aftermath. Sean, I have been a loyal listener of Oh My God Real Life." And then he says, "Jenna rocks. Oh, yeah, you're okay, too." And for anybody who doesn't listen to that show, Jenna is my co-host on there. "It is exceptionally entertaining. Through the Aftermath, however, will become a show that I listen to for more than just raw entertainment, I think." Well, that's good. "Already you have rekindled my interest in going back and watching all of the Jericho episodes. Some PA background on myself. I have always been interested in survival. When I was a Boy Scout, the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge was my favorite. I spent as much time as I could wandering around in the woods. I even went through an Ewan Gibbons phase where I was all about edible plants. That ended one day when I made some wild onion soup in my house and my mother put her foot down. Even after this crushing incident, I continued to constantly read and think about this subject." Actually, let me just say right there, I have made wild onion soup before, and it's not that great. "Here are my thoughts on various PA books. Farnham's Freehold is by Robert Heinlein? Possibly
Robert
the
Heinlein.
First PA book I ever read. Quite good, especially for younger readers, since it doesn't get very graphic at all. And then there's Tunnel in the Sky, also by Robert Heinlein. It says, not technically PA, but essentially so. A survival class gets stranded on a deserted planet." That sounds really cool. "Dies the Fire series, which of course I'm actually one of the books I'm reading right now, by S.M. Sterling, who we had an intro from on a couple shows back. Says, I know that you guys have already discussed these books, but I have to add my vote that they are spectacular. I agree. Also, Sterling has done something ingenious with this series. Without spoiling anything, I will just point out that the same event that causes the apocalypse in Dies of Fire is also the nebulous event for a completely separate series called Island in the Sea of Time. Both series are worth both series are well worth the read. And then there's the Ring of Fire series by Eric Flint. It says, again, not a traditional PA series of books, but essentially the same situation as an apocalypse. A small town in West Virginia is transported back to 1632 Europe and must bring order to the chaos. That sounds really cool.
Wow.
That one out too. For RPGs, PA RPGs, he says, I know that there were at least two of them that I dabbled with in my youth, but I can only remember one right now. It was called Twilight 2000, and it was a classic post-nuclear war setting. The character creation was quite detailed, as I recall, and it was very fun. There is a matching computer game, but I suspect it came out in the mid-90s or so, and it has no mouse support and is just plain painful to play. actually, we talked about Twilight 2000 in our RPG episode, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
With Chris? Okay. Yeah. And then in actually in a follow-up email, he makes a little correction. He says he forgot to mention that his favorite post-apocalyptic Saturday morning cartoon was Thundar the Barbarian, which didn't they kind of reference that in Fallout 3?
Yeah, with Grognak the Barbarian.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if that's where they got that or if that was just Conan the Barbarian kind of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would be curious to find out if that was a play on that.
Did you ever watch that, Thundar the Barbarian?
No, but I knew of it. I never actually got a chance to watch that. I think I was, you know, there were these cartoons that I had that I tagged every time, and then I seemed to miss all the rest of them.
Yeah, yeah. I actually never watched it either. I remember it, though. I remember it being on, but I never watched it. But, yeah, it's kind of funny that he mentions it.
I like that he mentions Robert Heinlein too, because a lot of people who had never heard of him, he's a huge sci-fi author. He's the guy who wrote Starship Troopers.
Oh, okay.
And when I say Starship Troopers, I'm referring to the masterpiece that is his book, and not the Paul Verhoeven slightly destroyed version movie. Although the bugs were cool in it, but yeah, if you want a good story, you know, even though this isn't necessarily post-apocalyptic, although it is because the bugs are attacking us.
Yeah.
You know, imagine, Starship Troopers, but they're inside mech warriors when they fight the bugs. And you have a pretty good idea what you're dealing with. Great book. Great book. All of his books are fantastic. So, yeah, I've not tagged the ones that he mentioned, so I'm going to add that to my list, too. So that'll give me something else to add to the list.
Yeah.
It's growing by my head.
The giant list.
The list of thousands.
So, wait, I have to rewind here and,
please.
And call you out on this. So you're saying you didn't like Starship Troopers?
No, I love Starship Troopers,
oh, okay.
But I'm saying you almost have to put it in its own category. And I'm saying this half joking. You know, I'm not quite like the postman where when I say the movie, I say it with hatred because I read the book, but more like, but even though I did like the movie in its own right, like the movie was a blast, but when you read the book, you'll understand. I mean, the book was very, very different. There were names that were the same. I mean, the guy's name is Johnny Rico. The planet's Klondothu, and they use mech warriors, which they kind of played homage to in the third Starship Troopers movie. But the Starship Troopers movie, and a lot of it's just my joking against Paul Verhoeven. All of his movies he touches are just like, dude, what did you do that for? The obligatory shower scene, why? Although there's a thousand people out there going, come on, man, come on. I still love the movie, though. I mean, the tanker bug was freaking awesome. I love the bugs.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I actually that's one of those movies where it's like a classic. It's almost like a B movie. I mean,
it is. It's so much fun.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Plus, it has Denise Richards in it. So
that's true, and that was really the reason why I remember it the most. yeah, that's right.
All right, on to our last email here. This one says,
all right.
Sean. Oh. Yeah, already our last. Can you believe it? It's only been. Yeah. Over an hour. it says, Sean and Jonathan, just got through listening to the Jericho episode and about half of the Fallout top 50. I don't play Fallout, so halfway shows how good the show was. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. First, the show is great. The level of prep and research you do is evident and appreciated. It even seemed that you could out Jericho the Jericho podcasters. Way to go. I'm a podcaster myself, and he puts a link to it, www.allthingsgeek.info, and I was wondering if you could check out the podcast and tell me what you think and maybe drop a couple of tips on marketing the podcast. You seem to have picked up on a decent listenership in a short time, something I struggle with, so thanks. Well, first of all, the Let's see. That is kind of a compliment, actually, when he says he only got halfway through the top 50 Fallout episode and he doesn't even play because that was kind of catered just towards those who play the game. He says the amount of prep and research we do. Now, we do actually do a lot of research, but it's not the type of research you would think. It's mostly refreshing, refreshing our memories, because there are a lot of times when we talk about things that we've already seen, even multiple times when we were younger. I guess the Threads one is a good example, things like that. And then, of course, we watch it again to kind of refresh, so that we can talk about it. One that was a big research one was the Hiroshima and Nagasaki one, of course. That one, we knew about it. We learned about it in school, but there was a lot of details that we needed to research, and that was a pretty hard show to do. But for the most part, we don't do a lot of kind of technical research. We do a lot of like talking about it and a lot of remembering, and even like in this one, we're kind of going off of each other back and forth, remembering how things were, and it was like, oh yeah, I remember that part, and things like that. And I think that's one of my favorite parts, at least, of the episodes we do about movies and books and things like that, to kind of, we refresh each other's memories, and I think that works out really well. I just think that's more organic than if we sat down and we had like a script of a researched script that we were going to read from. I think that this works a lot better.
Yeah, I agree completely. I noticed that the ones, the Hiroshima episode we were struggling with because we wanted to make sure everything was right. We were worrying, we were concerned about fact because we wanted to get it right. And you could tell it kind of like, we must have tried to redo that episode like four times. And you can tell, like, when we get going, we just sort of like roll with it. And hopefully, it seems to have paid off. I mean, I haven't had, too many people say, don't give up your day job or anything. So like, hopefully it's been entertaining, but I've been kind of the same way. I think that, the fact that we just kind of, we do some preparation work, but we do for the most part, just say it how we feel about it. And it's worked well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that in the future, we're going to keep doing this. I think that we will probably focus, most of the shows where we talk about movies, especially, movies are a lot easier to talk about because we can sit down and watch them in 2 hours, and then we can talk about them. Books, I am such a slow reader. I mean, I'll read 3 pages a day, maybe, and this is, before bed, and then I go to sleep, and it's just, I don't know, I can't sit down and read a book, from start to finish. So it's kind of a bottleneck for when we talk about books. But luckily Jonathan has read, it seems like I read a lot of books. You're a lot more versed in, in literature than I am. But I guess, maybe I have more of the MMO game part and Jonathan is more, well, let's see, consoles, books, basically everything else. No, but I think it works out pretty well. And that's something, we'll hope to continue with. And he also talks about how in his second paragraph there, he talks about how he's a podcaster and he does his podcast for All Things Geek. And I checked this out and it is kind of cool. It's just like, it's something that he does himself. And, he's on episode 38 now. And, He just talks about everything, like it says, All Things Geek. Everything you could think about as that relates to the whole geek culture, I guess you could say. So I haven't checked it out. I haven't listened to it. I've checked out the website. I'm going to listen to it, though, actually. But he says he wants a couple of tips on marketing the podcast. For me, I don't know. I think Through the Aftermath, I think, was an exception because Jonathan and I were both kind of established and known already. And we, all we had to do is say, hey, we're making a podcast together. And people are like, whoa, that's awesome. We did get a lot of new listeners, though. We actually do have a lot of new listeners that came from other podcasts, The Signal and Mail Order Zombie and things like that. This is something that I think is really important because you want to get people that are in the same like mind as you and kind of work together and network. Networking is huge. That's a big thing. Now, I think another part of that is when we first, like with Jonathan and I, when we first started podcasting, a big part of that was the Virtual Worlds Network, which we always talk about in every show. It's a network and it's a way to get people together, like-minded people. So it's just, that's the common denominator there. Get like yours, All Things Geek. Go to things like forums or other podcasts or any of this kind of stuff and just make your mark. You know, forums is actually, that's actually a big one because you can go on forums, you can make a post, and you can even not so much pimp it outright and be like, hey, everyone, check out my thing. But you can be like, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. Also, I talk about that on my podcast, so check it out, you know, like kind of one of those things without sounding like a spam bot, you know, where I actually get a lot of those spam bot, those comments that are like, I agree with what, how does it say? It's like, I agree with said you what? And then it's like, wait, what? What did you just say? Like they just mix up words because it's like a automated thing and it just doesn't come out right. And yeah, don't say stuff like that. Just tell heartfelt stuff and just talk to like-minded people. But marketing is such a it's such a weird thing because people will get kind of picky if you go over the top, you know. So you don't want to overdo it because then people will completely ignore it. And at the same time, you don't want to not say anything because you want people to hear about it. I think word of mouth is a big thing. And here we are right now, allthingsgeek.info, you know, and I said it twice now. So you know, people can check that out. And I think that it's a good way to do things.
Yeah. And I totally agree. I think, and the one thing that I think helps too is, you know, in listening to other people's podcasts, you know, ask yourself, you know, what is it that makes you still want to listen? What is it they're doing that makes you come back? And that was one of the things when I first started doing the Online Gamers Anthology, you know, I was like, what can I do to set my podcast a little bit apart? You know, something to give them to remember. And, you know, I was like, well, back then my hands were shaking. Sean remembers this. Back then my hands were shaking and I was like, I don't really know what I could do, but I could write skits. You know, I could put little funny skits at the beginning. And before I knew it, you know, people were like, oh, you're this skit guy. And it worked well. And that's a place where, you know, I really tried hard to kind of give them, even if what I talked about wasn't necessarily something they were interested in, they were tuning in for at least the funny skits. And, you know, and both Sean and I have taken the things that we have on each individual show and kind of merged it into this, you know, on a different level. You know, like instead of the skits, we have the intros that, well, they're pretty much skits, but, you know, we try to kind of mix it up a bit. But, you know, look at something that you know you're really good at, something that sets you apart, you know, make that part of your show. You know, even if it takes a little more effort, it will pay off and the people will start to listen. But, you know, like Sean said, get your name out there and, you know, by listening to this, I'll be telling all of my, my friends, hey, you got to listen to this guy. This is a good show and I'll be taking a peek at it myself. And yeah, hopefully that'll help.
Yeah, and I always say be consistent, you know, be entertaining or educational, whichever one you want to do, and just make sure that you have something to offer to people. And right now, you know, you're up to 38 shows, so that's a start. That's a great start. You know, you have something to look back on and say, I'm not one of those guys who has done 3 shows in the last year. You know, I've done 38 shows. So I think that's really important. So, you know, you're well on your way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and keep the chemistry good. I mean, like the thing with me and Sean that works well is, you know, our personalities merge perfect. You know, Sean, he's very logical. He's very, you know, when he speaks, you know, he speaks very eloquently. And I tend to be the guy bouncing off the wall behind him going, yeah, what are we going to do, babe, boss? You know, and like he says, you know, it's, you know, our talents merge well. You know, I play a lot of the console games and most of the MMOs I played are, you know, even though I play them currently, you know, most of the MMOs I'm bouncing around about are the ones that were back in the Meridian 59 EverQuest days. And, you know, Sean, meanwhile, he's, you know, immersed right in the middle of everything else. And so that's why the reason when we first get together before the show, there's like 15, 20 minutes of, oh, how's it going? Yeah, you know, because we're bouncing things off each other. But it works well. And that's, you know, it's if you're enthusiastic about it, it will show.
Yeah. And sometimes it'll show too much.
Yeah, it'll show too much. You know, it's... Yeah.
And then you'll get emails about it.
And yeah, people will not like you.
No. Well, cool. I guess that's the last email. And like I said, we still have more that... So if you've written in and we haven't read your email yet, we will try to tackle these little by little. And we'll still do these email shows like this because I think that they're pretty good just for a general discussion. But it'd be good to kind of tack a few of these on at the end of a few shows, as long as the shows aren't getting too long. But speaking of new shows, next episode in 2 weeks, we're going to do The Postman. And not only are we going to do The Postman, we're going to compare the book and the movie, which anyone who has both read the book and seen the movie is going, right now, because
yes.
There is a big difference between the two. And we're going to talk about the difference. We're going to talk about just what we liked about them, what we didn't like, and kind of comparing them. And for anyone, I think the most important thing about the next episode will be for anyone who has seen the movie and not read the book, which was me before I started reading the book, you'll find out what you're missing by not reading the book. And I think that that's one of the things we're going to try to push in the next episode. So hopefully by next episode, I'm actually in the process of reading the book right now. So hopefully I'll be done with it by then, and then we can discuss it, and it'll be fresh in my mind. And Jonathan, of course, has already read it, I'm going to see the movie too, because it's streaming on Netflix. So I'll be able to just watch it right before we record. So I'm excited for that, because I really like the movie a lot, and I can't wait to watch it again. So that'll be our next episode, so you can look forward to that. And you can check us out, like I said before, on the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective. We want to thank our sponsors there on the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective. We actually have three of them. We have Reverend Wolf and Hex and Teepajeek, who now has informed me that he wants to be known as Jeek Freak. And that's actually what he's known as on the forums as well. I think maybe because we keep having trouble saying Teepajeek. So
yeah, we killed it.
I know. So he's Jeek Freak. So yeah, thanks to those three for the sponsorship that helps Brent out with the, the bandwidth costs and all that. So
absolutely.
Definitely a cool thing there. And if you want to email us, it's show@throughtheaftermath.com, and that will get any of these emails to us, and we can read them on the next show or during another show that we do. You can check out our Twitter page, where I try to keep up on some of the exciting post-apocalyptic news and little stories that I find throughout my day, and I just try to throw them up there. It's not that many. It's probably one every couple of days, so don't expect a lot. And also, you can expect not to be spammed, which is always a good thing. So there's that. And then there's also our Facebook group, which is a little collection of fans got together on Facebook. And, of course, our forums, which is the big one, because our forums are back, and they are exciting as ever, where we get to discuss anything in the post-apocalyptic genre. There's games. We have our clan forums for Fallen Earth on there. We have a media discussion part. We have general discussion, podcast discussion. If there's something you want to talk about with other listeners for the podcast, you can go on there. So yeah, check that out. And that will all be linked in the show notes. So I guess that'll about do it for this show. So until next time, this is Sean.
And Jonathan saying, stay alive out there. And you know what?
What?
I hate the Home Shopping Network. See? I don't like stuff. Some stuff I don't like. I'm like angry at numbers. And there was one time that, anyway, I was young. I needed the money. Never mind.